Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, pod people, and welcome back to everybody's favourite podcast that features two middle-aged men laughing at their own jokes and talking about old telly ads. Yes, we've returned to block up your feed like the results of an ill-advised after-work session at the Brass Monkey, followed by a particularly nasty kebab. In this week's drama-filled episode, Tones lets his guard down and reveals that he's still not recovered from the shock of finding out that Tommy Cooper didn't do the voiceover for the Lego Kipper ad. He snaps out of it just in time to seize the opportunity to go full Bill Clinton during the intro, then indulges himself with some vintage Jimmy Savile Operation U-Tree references before insulting the entire population of Ireland. Perhaps more importantly, we're treated to some phone-in action when the one and only Wolf Carla calls up to personally thank us for reviving his career after the positive review of his performance in the 1993 Ferrero Rocher advert. Apparently, Wolf is now the go-to guy when you need someone to play an elderly Nazi. So, excelente. Join me, Steve Cook, and my co-host, award-winning advertising creative and TV ad director Tony Williams. No, not that one. The other one. As we take a look behind the cat litter box of history and rewind to 1993 with an advert that set a new record for lack of casting diversity whilst managing to bin more cash in production than had ever been spent before in the making of an Australian television ad. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Dixon from Qantas and John Singleton from Singleton, Ogilvie & Mather had a love child, and it wasn't rock and roll. It was an advert that became an icon of Australian advertising, central to the building of a global brand. And it all came about because the chairman of Qantas has no mates and had nowhere to go on New Year's Eve in 1997. So, two big egos and a shedload of cash, global locations, busloads of cute children, Boab trees, the outback, random blokes on horses, footy, Don Bradman, St. Kekovich, Lamingtons, Drop Bears, Mullets, V8 Utes, the Sydney Harbour Bridge, Mrs. Mangle, the Wiggles. I still call Australia home. All the ingredients are here, but after Singo had edited out all the ugly kids, did the end product have the consistency of a week-old Qantas bread roll, or was it as light and fluffy as Jeff Dixon's Filofax? Get your jingo on and join us as we review a Qantas TV advert from 1998.
Going round. That was Dizzy by Bob Mortimer and Big Reeves.
I'm not sure that Bob Mortimer would consider that to be his lasting legacy.
Well, it's all I remember him. Yeah, last impressions last.
Okay, welcome back, Tones.
Hello, Stephen.
Classic ads from simpler times.
Classic ads.
After a slight detour, we are back.
Like a comfortable pair of shoes.
I want to point out to both our listeners that I'm sitting on a brand new chair.
Oh, are you?
Which will no longer make fart noises.
No, if you hear it, it'll just be me.
If you do hear a fart, it's a real one.
Unfortunately, you can't do any neck, but he's also been involved in an RTA.
I have been involved in an RTA, which is a bit annoying.
A little bit of whiplash.
Shall we do some admin first? We've had another telephone... Another telephone message.
They've been ringing off the hook.
Off the hook. We've got a bit of a backlog. Enya is ringing every couple of days at the moment, and they're getting more and more abusive. But Colonel Dietrich has been in touch.
The one from the Ferrero Rocher ad.
Well, Colonel Dietrich from Raiders of the Lost Ark with the melting face, who incidentally was in our very first episode, Ferrero Rocher.
He was.
Ambassador's party. He left a message.
What did he say?
Here he goes. This is on the answer machine, so it's a bit ropey.
We still have an answer machine.
We do have an answer machine. It's a virtual.
Did you get a page to tell you that?
It's a virtual. My beeper went off to tell me that we...
Okay. It's a coin to use the phone.
Here we go. Colonel Dietrich. What's his real name? Does he say... I can't remember if he says his real name in the message. He's hungry. Here we go.
Hello. Hello. It's me. That's right. Hello. It's Germany's very own TV Wunderkind. Nein, not Colonel Stink, the other tyrant from Deutschland. And no, not that one either. The ads of the classic from the time switch with Simpler. It's me, Wolf Keiler, you know, star of the indie movies. No, not the indie movies, Uncle Fitz, Indiana Jones. Yeah, Wolf. I'm calling to say a very big Dankeschön for featuring me as a star of the Ferrero Rocher television commercials. You see, as a tall, blue-eyed, and, let me say, quite handsome German, I'm always getting the nasty parts, actually, the Nazi parts in the movies, and it's just not fair. The Dirty Dozen, Nazi officer named Dietrich. The Temple of Doom, Nazi officer Dietrich. It's not me. I'm so much more than that. So, I was excited I could finally be becoming the good guy with the little turkey commercial. It was wunderbar. Oh, wait, should I say? Excellente. Ha! Guys, is this the cost line? No, it was just me, Boris, playing the ambassador, see? Finally, not a bad German for a change. This time, all I had to do was head over to my European neighbor's place and take the gold while gleefully enjoying the moment. Easy peasy. Well, my sweetest, I'm at work, so I must go and get back into uniform, I mean costume. All I ask is next time you see a nasty Nazi, just see the man behind the melted face, Wolf Keiler. Auf Wiedersehen! Smell like a sound, as lost in the crowd, I'm hungry like the wolf.
Wow, that was a long message, and he sounded... Your eyes have steamed up. He sounded remarkably camp. Well, I
but, you know, it takes all sorts, doesn't it?
Yes, that was a very long message. Your tape must have run out. Listeners, it's nice to get some feedback.
Listeners of a certain age will love the reference to Colonel Klink.
And have it all in there, didn't it?
Oh, that was amazing.
Wasn't it? Nobody knows what it's like to be the bad guy.
Yeah. Stereotyped.
Yeah,
stereotyped.
That was a little bit, wasn't it? He did put himself into a little bit of a hole there. Just let that in 15.
Well, I think there's a chance that we'll be hearing from Colonel Dietrich again.
Do you think so?
I think so. Well, I hope so.
So he was called Colonel Dietrich in both his parts. He played a Nazi officer called Dietrich. That's unbelievable.
And what's his proper name? What's his real name?
Wolf Kohler.
I wonder if he's alive.
My friends call me Corker.
I wonder if he's alive.
He must be. That's probably, well, yeah, obviously. Otherwise, he wouldn't have left the message.
Okay, that was this week's admin. We're gonna be transported now back to 1998.
I thought we were with your answering machine.
With my beeper.
1998, that was a good year.
Any American listeners out there will remember a smashing ad for Smart Beep. Do you remember Smart Beep?
No.
It was on everybody's reel for a long time. It's the one where the guy rocks up in the car for the blind date, goes up, knocks on the woman's door, and she comes out and she's gorgeous, and they're... He opens the car door for her. She gets in the car and drops a massive fart. Mm. And then he walks around the car, gets in the car, and it turns out that it's a double date. There's two people in the back of the car.
Nice.
And her to drop the big, nice. Big tromp.
There was,
oh, my God. I'm back with Steve.
That's unbelievable. The best that she could have got out of it. The
Smart
best
beep.
Story somebody told me was that there were a wedding and it was all, can we have the groom's family and everyone together? It's all ready for this picture. And the groom lets a ripper off and farts. Everyone heard it. And he said, just loud enough so most people could hear, don't worry, love, they'll think it was me. I thought that was brilliant. But no, I've never heard of Smart Beep before. I remember the ad.
1998, we're back in 1998. This was the year that the ABC dubbed John Howard the uncoolest man in Australia.
Well, for once I agree
so
with
there's
the
a clue.
ABC.
We're going to do a bit of Australian news because this week we're looking at an Australian ad. Anyway, John Howard was the uncoolest man in Australia because he turned down the opportunity to meet with the Spice Girls.
Why did he take the opportunity? Sorry, hang on, rewind. Not why did he? How did he even have the opportunity?
He said he was too busy. The Spice Girls were promoting the Spice Girls movie.
Spice World.
Spice World. And had previously met the Queen, Prince Charles, Nelson Mandela, and the Dalai Lama.
That was a party.
I wouldn't mind being there.
So do you want to give us... Do you want to...
I don't know what I want, but I really want to want. I want to stick a second. Ah! Whitney!
How would that conversation have gone with Nelson Mandela introducing Winnie to the Spice Girls?
Winnie! Did Winnie? Posh!
I can't remember the other ones.
Posh, sporty...
Sporty, baby...
Angry. Anyway, let's move on. Take my
ex-wife. Welcome to Deep and Meaningful.
Another high point of the year was for George...
There's another one.
For John Howard... He was apparently on, this is the year that the GST was introduced. For our British listener, the GST is the same as VAT.
VAT.
He was introducing the GST, talking about it on the radio show, and he stormed off after being asked whether the introduction of GST would affect the price of heroin. It's a big issue.
Did he storm off the check?
It's a big issue in Sydney.
Yeah, right. He could have just said no.
I know, because so he had a tantrum. Anyway, in 1998, we still had the pop charts. I thought we'd go through the pop
the
charts.
The pop charts, really?
Yes.
Sure, it's not 1978. Okay, Bob Biggers up this week. Three places up to number two is...
There were 16 number one Australian singles in 1998. I want you to sing me as many as you can. I'd never heard of the first one. La Copa de la Vida by Ricky Martin.
I don't know. I don't know.
Next, It's Like That, Run DMC featuring
it's
Jason
like that,
Nevins.
Because that's the way it is. It's a great breakdance video.
Yep. Iris by Goo Goo Dolls.
I get my linen to see her. Na, 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 da, 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 da. Something like that.
Excellent. I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith.
And I don't want to miss a thing.
I didn't realise that Liv Tyler...
Is his daughter.
For both our listeners, who is Liv Tyler? What was her most famous role?
Her most famous role was a cheese and ham. Oh, not Liv Tyler. Oh, works down the sandwich shop. Sorry, Liv Tyler, the actress. I don't know. What was the first one?
Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
She played the fairy queen in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, the Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
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 How could somebody so beautiful spring from the loins of Steven Tyler?
Well, have you seen his lips?
Because when we're talking about people with melted faces, he literally looks like his face has been pushed into a barbecue. Don't you reckon? Never Ever by All Saints.
Oh, I don't know.
No? You're Still the One by Shania Twain.
Still the one I want. I don't know the words, of course. Still the one.
Okay. Hi by Lighthouse Family.
Oh, brilliant song. You might have to edit this, but I can't remember. But I love the Lighthouse Family. They did a great album. Sorry, okay. Good song.
All My Life by KC and JoJo.
No, I don't know. All My Life. I've been missing the lift one, because they're out. One's missing. Yeah, don't know.
My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
Oh, we know that one.
I will always love you.
5678 by Steps. I remember this song, and it prompted me to go back and look at the video. And the video is pretty good, actually. Pretty Fly for a White Guy by The Offspring.
Pretty Fly.
Uno, dos, tres,
cuatro.
Uno, dos, cinco, cinco, seis.
Where are you getting into? And you sit down to pee. Yeah, I remember that bit. Because that's also a really good name for your home network. It's always Pretty Fly for a Wi-Fi. So that's a very common network name.
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty Fly for
good
a
point.
White Guy.
Dr. Jones by Aqua.
Call me. Don't know.
No. Their previous song was...
Barbie Girl.
Oh,
I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world.
Once again,
it's fantastic.
Astonished.
I am plastic. I'm a Barbie girl.
You continue to astonish me, Tones, with the amount of shite that you managed to trap on the hard disk that is your brain. Who would have even thought that you would remember
that? What's his
Barbie
name?
Barbie Girl was the first single.
Who would have thought? Aliens. Best voice ever.
Roller Coaster by Bewitched.
Roller Coaster? don't know.
Believe by Cher.
Because Believe I can fly. No, I believe
that,
I can fly.
That was the first.
And then auto-tune.
It was the first auto-real. Yeah, it was the first.
She's like the female Elton John. didn't she?
I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind. Because I believe.
Yeah. What's another great Cher song?
Another great song. Because I believe in love to love. There's enough, not enough.
I was a backing singer, actually. I remember now.
Originally, she was part of the duo, wasn't it? Sonny and Cher. Was she married to Sonny?
You turn around and babe. I got you. But I got you, babe.
Name 25 commercials that that song's been used in.
Ooh.
Yeah, anyway. The final one on my list is Top Thumping by Chumbawamba.
I get knocked out, but I get up again, because you're never going to keep me down. I drink a whiskey drink, I drink a lager drink.
Yep. That's another one where name 75 commercials that that song's been used in.
Boy, that's from Trainspotting, wasn't it?
Outside the Colonies, 1998 was the year that Google was founded.
Was it really? How did they search for that web address? I think you might have to cut some of the singing out. I'm not real.
I'm pretty sure that both of our listeners will find it really entertaining. The movie Titanic won 11 Oscars in 1998. I put this in specially for you, the next one. Are you ready? Bill Clinton was impeached on charges of perjury and obstruction of justice. Why, Tones?
I did not have sexual relationships with that woman. I said sack the cook. He went about George Bush again, didn't he?
Sack the cook.
But you got to do. I did not have sexual relationships with that woman, Hillary. I said, Hillary, come on, babe, you and me, I got it all. I don't want Monica.
Come on, no need to thank me. Yeah, I thought that one in specifically. 1998 was the year the Apple iMac was launched. Did you have an Apple iMac?
I had an Apple iMac.
What color was it?
You tell me, what colour iMac did I have?
I think that you were a raspberry kind of guy.
Oh, you're so wrong.
Oh, really?
I had like the dark blue steel one.
I had the dark blue one as well, but I don't remember any steel being on it.
The dark blue steel.
110% plastic. Is that the year
that was from 1998.
Oh, so listener, Tony's just showing me his photographs of Jennifer Love Hewitt and himself out on the town. Is that now turning a thrombo?
There you go.
That was Tony's wife having a thrombo because we're not supposed to bring that up.
That was a sign.
Sex in the City started and Seinfeld ended.
Oh, how did Seinfeld end?
Don't care.
Oh. Boom, 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 boom. Do you not like it?
I just never got into the whole Seinfeld cult.
Did you?
And also that bass line. I can't do it. I just found it really annoying. It was like listening to Level 42.
Yeah, with a bit of Mark. Good.
Yeah. Just a bit of slap. Yeah. They call it slap, don't they?
It was good.
Fuck off.
I didn't mind it. It had a huge viewing audience. Do you remember when Jerry Seinfeld had a bit of an epi on...
Is that a technical term? A bit of an epi?
No, he didn't like it when... it was the Larry King said... when he was interviewing him, and he said, when it finished, did you choose, or did the network push it? And Jerry Seinfeld, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Do you know who I am? And he said, finish? Oh, my God. Have you done your research? Are you kidding me? And he's like, yeah. Well, I'm the biggest viewed show in history. And he's like, you went mad. And then when Larry King died, he said, me and Larry have always been friends. He's constantly wearing jeans that are too tight.
I don't like him. I don't know why. I just don't
Kramer
like him.
Was good. Jerry, let the cat right out of the bag. He was good, but then
George Costanza, I found really annoying as well.
Well, that's the whole point. You're supposed to.
Is it?
But then Kramer, when everyone sort of had to go off in their own little separate directions to do their own careers, he did stand-up comedy and he did something terribly racist, and it killed his career. He's like talking about Noose, and it was awful, really bad.
She's the only one. What's she called? Julie Louis-Dreyfus. She eclipsed the lot of them. Okay, this is the year that Frank Sinatra died.
Come die with me, let's die away. He's had 3 baths a day, apparently, and changes his silk boxer shorts several times. Did. For those of you who got this with the music, it's hard.
Come die with me.
Old blue eyes.
Oh, fucking hell. I've missed you, Tones. The star of the movie Free Willy was Keiko the Killer Whale.
Our next girlfriend went to that. Boy, was she disappointed.
He was released back into the wild.
Yeah?
Yep. And finally, the first portable MP3 player was launched. It was made by a South Korean company whose name I couldn't find, but apparently had 32 megabytes of flash memory.
Wow.
And cost US $250. 32 megs, because the original MP3 algorithm crunched a song down to like 8 megs or something, didn't it? I know now they're like 1.5 AAC, megs or something. Yeah. Anyway. But okay, there you go. That was 1998. The advert. We're talking about a Qantas advert.
A Qantas advert. An Australian advert.
An Australian advert for Qantas, the airline. The campaign, produced by Publicist Mojo, featured James Morrison, who's a trumpeter.
A trumpeter.
Kate Sobrano, who's a singer, and James Blundell, who I think was... I really don't know who he was. So, James Blundell is apparently an Australian country music singer who became famous after being named Best New Talent at the 1987 Country Music Awards of Australia. I was going to play you some of his music at this stage, but it really is quite awful, so you're off the hook on that one. More pertinently, in 2013, James stood for election to the Australian Senate, running for Bob Katter's Katter's for Australia party. Think of Bob Katter as the pound shop Nigel Farage, and the living embodiment of the idea that the desire to run for political office of any kind should automatically disqualify you from being allowed to do so. The Katter's for Australia party platform was anti-abortion and pro-guns. So, it's safe to assume that James Blundell is a complete fucking bellend.
And they were singing Peter Allen's popular song, I Still Call Australia Home. That's not the ad that anybody remembers.
Is that from 1977?
That is from 1997.
1997, sorry, I thought you said 77, right? So 1997.
That was by way of introduction. That song, I Still Call Australia Home.
It was popular before?
Was popular well before.
Oh, okay.
Written by... Oh, God. Sorry, I've updated that out. That is not the ad that everybody remembers. What's the ad that everybody remembers, Tones?
The one that everybody remembers
that we're going to discuss today.
A Catholic Priest's Dream. If I'm not wrong.
Operation Yew Tree's theme tune.
I mean, this was the field that was ploughed to plant the yew tree.
Here's the ad for your delectation. Have a look on our YouTube channel and see what Sir Joe Bjocke Peterson's 1998 actually looked like.
It has a lot of young children dressed in, I don't know if they are choir boys and choir girls' gowns. I don't think so. One of them looks like a chef, I think. The girls looks like a chef. And they're spread around, scattered, you know, like social distance, like before, ahead of its time, around different landmarks around the world and around Australia. And they sing, Still Call Australia Home.
Still Call Australia Home.
Which isn't a bad song. I've got to say, I do like the song. And you find yourself humming it, you know, I'm sure there's some petition at some point for it to be the national anthem, like there always is. anything except for Australia Fair. I think ACD songs, everything.
And I watched the ad again, and you know what? I don't like it.
I thought I did, but it just bothers me now. Well, first of all, I liked it, and then I didn't like it, because as a creative, you look at it, you go, wankers, creative team, just gone, where in the world do we want to go?
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a set and a half
we
shot.
We open on the Brooklyn Bridge in New York.
Right, it's always, yeah, let's go to New York, let's go to Europe. So we go to the France, Paris, whatever, and there's a second and a half shot of some beautiful, I don't know, landmark, and then it doesn't, I mean, I know it's an airline and what have you, and that's all fine, but why young kids? And there's a few shots where they keep coming back to young kids semi-naked in swimming pools and lagoons. And I'm going, that's two or three times. They keep going back. I'm going, oh, I don't get it. And then I ask, why are they kids? Because kids don't fucking fly.
So let's get our cards on the table here. Tones has already said that he doesn't like it. I fucking hate this thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you. Just in the interests of veracity, the ad featured the National Australian Boys Choir and the Australian Girls Choir singing the song, the Peter Allen song, I Still Call Australia Home, on the Brooklyn Bridge in New York.
Mm.
We open on the Brooklyn Bridge in New York. You can see the pitch. The Great Wall of China, the canals of Venice, the prairies of Argentina, which they could have fucking shot out the back of my house.
But it is, frankly. Well, you've got a bunch of people trying to emigrate to your house.
The temples in Thailand and at the King's Canyon in the Northern Territory of Australia.
Because at the last shot, I thought, is this Uluru? Is it when it pulled out, and it wasn't. It was some other.
And there's a bit of chat on the internet. People saying, "Oh, lovely shot of the Kimberley," and it's not really the Kimberley. It's in the Northern Territory.
But it's can you name any other lines from the song besides "I Still Call Australia Home"? Because there's that setup is because this, and I still call Australia. Do you remember any of the words?
No, I can't.
I like getting pissed on Friday. Yeah. Or, you know.
And I still call Australia.
And there is the shots of Australia, which I think is supposed to be classic Australia, which shows a gang of guys on a horseback, supposed to be outback people. Like, the shot looks like they're surprised, as if the director's gone, okay, go now, oh, come out here. And like they all race on the horses towards this group of kids, and you think, oh, they're going to hit them, no. And they veer off to either side, on left or right, except the left-hand group is closer than the right-hand group. And it's just, it doesn't deliver what it promises. Is it beautifully shot? You know what? It's not. They look, I've got to say, and this isn't just a time thing, they look like the stock images which would have been illustrated over that came from the storyboard. They don't look like genuinely beautiful shots that, you know, you'd go there and you find, you know, what looks best. They go from, I think they feature a close-up of the kids' faces more than they do actually the location, and you've got to really study it to know that they are traveling around. And as an airline, you know, everyone does it. Singapore Airlines does it. The absolute best is where they go around the world and you know, show the locations, and why wouldn't you? But it does nothing for me at the end. You know, still call Australia home. It's, you know, if I want to fly anywhere from this side of the world, I won't use Qantas because they're the most expensive. Thanks very much. It doesn't matter that you've got a CEO from Ireland. That doesn't make any difference at all.
No.
For me, they are pretty much the worst airline, and it's nothing to really boast about. But I think they do have the record, do they not, of being the only airline to never have an international air disaster. If it has happened today on the news, conditions apply, but that'd be too weird. But I think they've never had a major incident, lives lost.
I don't think they have had a lives lost incident. However, the bloke that you mentioned there, the Irish CEO, is doing his best, his level best. They had one that where an engine fell off not long ago.
Is that right?
Yeah. I want to talk about that a little bit later on, about when we talk about the my feeling is that, just to flag something that we'll talk about later on, I think they're trashing the brand at the moment. It's interesting you mention the film, because it opens with a really nice, to me, it opens with a really nice shot on the Brooklyn Bridge. It's very, very cinematic, very big, very large scale. And then you're right. After that, it all peters out.
Yeah.
It all gets a bit, it feels as though the client has interfered massively in it.
Well, oh, don't say that.
Like, oh, we need to show a baobab tree. Oh, we need to show a bloke on a horse.
And I think they go back to that tree, and then it's like kids playing a game where they jump in the sand, which could have been done in the garden unless the client's child's in it.
There were two versions of this ad. There was a 3-minute spot and a 60-second spot, and the ad first aired during the Australian broadcast of the opening of the 1998 Commonwealth Games.
I'll tell you something as well that bugs me is, I don't know if at that time, was Ansett still around?
Not sure.
So Ansett was the other Australian airline, which I had a lot of frequent flyer points with. Thanks very much. And when that went under, and all the chairman and his board of members took very nice golden handshakes, very much, or should say golden parachutes, I lost all my points. And not only that, every passenger that flew out of Australia had to pay an Ansett tax to pay the government back for all the debts. So we're left with one airline, essentially, which is Qantas, right? So I still call Australia home. You might as well call anything you want because we've got no other choice. So it's pulling on patriotism, but okay, well, who else am I going to use? Mm. There you go. Thanks very much. Sorry, can you just put that soapbox away?
It feels like we've gone through 23 episodes just so you could get that off your chest.
No.
We've just built up to that.
No. Just I haven't even started on the experiences I've had. You know, can I have another blanket? One per customer. Or the fact you have to pay $500 to get into their members lounge, whether you're flying business or not. I was flying around the world.
Okay, we can talk about Sydney. This. We can talk about this a bit later on.
Okay.
So first aired during the ad break of the opening ceremony of the Commonwealth Games. And then in 1999, in January, they ran it during the ad break in the Super Bowl. And it reached an estimated 31.7 million viewers.
Okay, and how did that increase? What were their American roots?
No idea. It's quite interesting mentioning the roots. Peter Allen, who nobody in Australia has ever heard of, because he basically was Australian but lived in America, incidentally was married to Liza Minnelli. The original ad lyrics said, from New York to Rio and old London town. Mm. The issue at that time was, and they still don't, Qantas don't fly to Rio de Janeiro.
See?
So they took the iconic Peter Allen song, I Still Call Australia Home,
which nobody knew,
and changed it, yes, to from New York to Rome and old London town. There you go. That's how they treated the iconic song.
Do you know what it'll be changed to today? From New York to Rome, twice a day, three times a week.
To Karatha town.
Yeah.
The ad was created at Singleton, Ogilvy and Mather with John Singleton as the creative director. Copywriter was Paul Duane. Creative director / art director was Ant Larkham, and the agency producer was a guy called George Sada. Here's why it got made. The CEO of Qantas was watching the telly, Norman Nomates, on New Year's Eve, and saw the Australian National Boys Choir singing. You know that the kind of crap that they put on New Year's Eve just after the fireworks? Apparently, they had the boys choir, and it came to him in a flash. The Australian choir singing all over the world. And the next day, New Year's Day, he called John Singleton and said, we're going to make this ad. And John Singleton went, it's going to cost you. And he went, I don't care.
The flights will be a lot.
We're going to make,
flights will be a packet. I've got an idea. I'd like to get 100 Catholic boys all together on a trip around the world. Can you tell me, John, is this the way to do it? We can have them fucking singing whatever you want. But I must be in the middle of the bush.
No, stop. I can feel another fucking Enya complaint coming on now. Caricaturing all Irish people as paedophiles.
I mean, when he was doing his flight, hello, Qantas, QF77. This is Perth Airport. Please state your height and position. Well, I'm about 6 foot and I'm sitting in the front. Sorry, Qantas have windscreen wipers on the inside.
Are you dog?
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so literally, Qantas CEO Jeff Dixon, it was his idea.
Oh, Jeff Dixon.
Yep.
It wasn't.
And Singo went, yeah, it's going to be expensive. And Jeff Dixon went, yeah, fuck it, I don't care. The ad is considered to be the most expensive Australian advert ever made. In 1998, it cost $3 million.
What?
Which is just under $4 million at current exchange rates. If you adjust it for inflation, it comes out at $6.5 million today.
Those flights.
There's always that thing where the client comes up with the ad idea, so it's a brilliant idea. In 2010, John Singleton went back to Jeff Dixon and went, what we should do is remake that ad. Jeff, what do you reckon? And Jeff went, fucking hell, it was my idea. I can't really turn it down, can I? So they remade it at a cost of $10 million. In 2010, which adjusted for inflation, is about $14 million.
So I can imagine it would be a lot of money because...
John Singleton has got a lot of racehorses.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine...
And I think he owns Hayman Island.
Heyman.
Oh, you know, he owns one of them fucking islands in the Whit Sun.
Does he?
Yeah, where you have to.
That's why. That's why they said you've got an island. I had to be able to do me at it. So, probably I can see it costing a lot because you're taking probably what 50 kids? Is it around? You've got insurance. You've got the parents, the keepers, the handlers.
The whole choir thing, like, I've got it. Sorry to interrupt you. The whole choir thing's lovely. So the people, the kids singing the song,
yeah,
are not the kids who appeared in the ad. So
no,
yeah, they're all from the set. They are from the choir. So the kids singing the song in the advert are from the choir. The ones who appear in the visual are the choir. But apparently they had like a, they got rid of all the monters.
And we do apologise to anyone whose child was related to this and you found it on Google. Sometimes you've got a good face for singing.
It's the most advertising thing of it. It's like, don't worry, you'll be singing in the advert.
Everyone's going to know it's your voice.
Jeremy.
Oh, I don't know. My voice has changed now. That's probably what's happened.
Jeremy, can you just...
Just move to the left a bit.
Yeah. If you go and stand in that... Yes, over there, just over there, yes. All the people who aren't going to be...
So the Stereo's mother, we've been on the Brooklyn Bridge waiting all morning for the shoot. Anyway, sorry, Al, we're in Kimberley's.
So they got rid of all the monters.
Wow.
How good is that?
But that's, yeah. Well, yeah, well, you saw the ones that ended up in it. They must have been pretty bad. So you were saying about the cost of production, which I can sort of imagine, because everyone had flown business or first. You know, it's a big operation.
But there's a lot of helicopter shots in this as well, isn't there?
Today we would have done it. Blue screen, still doing the chopper or drone shots, but just blue screen the little fucks rather than having to take them around.
Yep. I kind of missed the days when he had to get a chopper to get in the air.
Yeah, he's dead now.
Chopper.
He probably allowed most of those show shoots to happen. So you notice I will make fun of international, like world-leading presidents, prime ministers. Chopper's name, silence.
Chopper.
Chopper's a ledge.
Brought to life by Eric Banner.
That's right. Eric Banner's good as well.
Qantas. Okay, so I'd written here, Qantas has never been one for abstract concept in its advertising. This advert unashamedly positioned itself as the national airline of Australia, despite it not actually being the national airline of Australia.
What is the national airline of Australia?
Well, the idea of a national airline is, do you remember British Airways used to be the national airline of the UK before it was privatised because it belonged to the government?
Mm.
Qantas hasn't, since 1995, had been privatised and Jeff
Dixon. I suppose they can call themselves, Australia's favourite airline, whatever it may be. Mm. But do you know what Qantas actually stands for?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, because I researched it.
Oh, go on then.
It stands for the Queensland and Northern Territory Aerial Service.
Yes, it does. Sorry, just on it being the Super Bowl ad, I'd like to know how many routes they have to the US, how that possibly improved their business, and what the improvement was, if any, and what a waste of fucking money. The most expensive airtime in the world. Let's put a Qantas ad on. That's what I say.
I don't know what the ad's about. I don't know what it's for. I don't know who it's for.
Well, it's not promoting the new economy legs room, is it? It's not promoting the plastic forks you get. It's not promoting the old... Nope. I shouldn't say the old
badge. I mean, it's obviously a brand ad, but as you said, you know, the relationship between if ANZAC... I'll go and look it up. If ANZAC was still in operation, are you going to look it up now? But the relationship between ANZAC and Qantas was obviously ANZAC was internal only. So ANZAC offered competition for domestic flights. So it's kind of, you know, if they were trying to put themselves ahead of ANZAC, it's very much a sledgehammer to crack a walnut. ANZAC was their competition, but only domestically. If you had, I mean, obviously their competition is non-domestic carriers. So British Airways, Singapore Airlines. This is appealed to every Australian. It's a reflection on national identity. It's un-Australian to fly any other airline except Qantas. Would you agree?
What, based on his ad?
It's fucking, that's as simple as it gets, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, it's basically saying, yeah, you're not Australian. It's like Bob Hawke's, if you don't give your employees a day off today, you're not Australian, or if you don't drink a beer.
Yeah.
So you don't fly Qantas. Which, you know, I don't mind. I don't mind that sort of jingoistic approach as long as you've got the goods to back it up. But there's nothing about the airline that they promote because there's nothing they can promote. As I say, what are they going to say? More room in the economy, better food? Nothing, because there's nothing better.
I mean, basically the ad's saying you have to fly Qantas because we're an Australian airline and you're Australian.
Yeah.
And it's the most Australian thing that you can do.
Absolutely.
Because we're all Australian. The bits that are shown of Australia are all rural locations.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, from memory, there's no Australian city show, which is part of that national identity bullshit that we have going on in Australia.
That's the problem, yeah.
We're all adventurers, we're all pioneers, we're all living in the bush under boreal trees, playing footy.
If you showed a city, you'd have to show corporate names or corporate buildings, because everyone owns a building, and that'd be too difficult. Because, you know,
why are you saying he's building in Melbourne and not Earth?
Mm. You know? It'd be all that, wouldn't it? You can't show a city without showing a company-owned building.
Yeah, 70% of Australia's population live in four cities, and there weren't any cities shown in that ad. Just to reinforce it, they did do subsequent versions of the ad, and they were all launched around what we might loosely call nation-building events. So the ones that come to mind are the 2000 Olympics and the 2004 Rugby World Cup. They were trying to own Australian.
Mm.
Did they manage it?
No. I think it's one of the only ads that the cutdown is better than the extended version. And even in the extended version, you know, they have all these kids walking down this temple or whatever. They have to do a time lapse on a couple of shots. It was really naff where they'd sort of just skip forward just because the kids walking too slow.
So the original was 3 minutes. They had a 2 minute cutdown for the Super Bowl one. And then they used
2 minutes on the Super Bowl.
And then they had a 60. My issue with it to a certain extent is without the end. So the end frame is 747 with the famous Qantas livery, which is the kangaroo on the tail.
Yeah.
Remove that 1 second shot and it could be for anything Australian, right? It could be Telstra, Tourism Australia.
It would be better for Telstra. I still call Australia home.
Exactly. Stretch, it could be for Castlemaine Forex.
With the kids?
There's a very long and storied tradition of kids and beer in Australia.
Could be for the Catholic Church, anything. It's Yeah, but also, sorry, just going back to the uniform nitpicking it, you know, just bashing this ad for what was essentially a great ad at the time. I think it was a great song.
Do you remember that ad?
I do remember it being on because I remember singing it all the time. I don't remember paying a lot of attention to it. But when I watch it again, you know, as I say, I think the kids have white robes on and the girls have like this baker's jacket with black pants, which I'm sure isn't their choral attire, which it just seems odd. Again, it's like, why? Yeah, I don't know. Why kids? The future of Australia. I still call Australia home. It would be better if you had a big fat miner with oil all over his face singing part of it, you know, and took him around the world. Or the people actually travel on business rather than a bunch of kids.
I was confused looking at the visuals about whether or not it was supposed to be a tourism ad or a bloody
That's the thing, yeah. That's the thing.
Because if you get past the, you're Australian, you have to fly the Australian airline, mate, because you're Australian, all right? It's a very kind of sentimental, saccharine. The shots of Australia are very tourism WA. So that, you know, you start ticking stuff off is like a bit of desert, boab tree, kids kicking a footy. Apart from the fact, obviously, that there are no Indigenous children, or in fact, there's no Indigenous people at all.
Is there not?
I think there's a couple of Indigenous kids in the scene where they're playing footy beneath a boab tree. If you squint really hard, I suppose the red desert kind of shot hints at some indigenous cultural link. But all that's swamped, as you said, by the repeated close-ups of the whitest 9-year-old girl that they could find.
Yeah.
And I know that we're struggling with historical attitudes when we review ads today, but that ad could be for the Proud Boys. It's like...
Now you say the tourism thing, that's, yeah, if I had to pick it, and I reckon if you pick the man on the street now to say, what was his ad for? Was it A, tourism, or B, you know, an airline?
Mm.
A lot of people say tourism.
And I think if you remove the end frame and you took away the song, for instance, then it gets even harder to pick it, right? Because that song is a very famous... Qantas, I think, made that... The Qantas advertising has made that song famous. But if you took it all away, it's a series of generic shots of global cities. It could be for MasterCard, American Express.
Yeah.
It could be for any of those kind of global financial services companies. It feels incredibly lazy.
Well, talking about lazy, did you know they recreated it in 2020?
In 2020. What a massive surprise.
They recreated the iconic I Still Call Australia Home ad with its partners, the Australian Girls Choir and the Gondwana National Choir. And what they've done is they recreated it with children from the choirs aged 8 to 18 filming themselves on phones in their own homes with the help of their siblings and parents as they sing the song. And the children in the video are located all over Australia, from Toowoomba to Wollongong to Albany to Adelaide. And then they Qantas engaged The Monkees, a well-known creative agency, to compile the footage and develop the final version.
It's kind of interesting to me. So the title of the podcast, Classic Ads from Simpler Times. There were simpler times. Qantas built a brand on that ad and the subsequent iterations using that song, regardless of whether or not it is a very good creative ad, regardless of whether or not it represents the Indigenous culture of Australia, regardless of, you know, so many different things. They actually built a brand on that ad and did really, really well. And then the Irish guy, whose name I can't remember, who's I should be able to, Alan Joyce. Alan Joyce is in the middle of absolutely trashing that brand. Your man, Alan Joyce, has laid off Australian workers. He's outsourced their jobs. He's doing the most un-Australian things to the most Australian company.
I just noticed another thing, actually, which is, to be fair, quite a clever thing. And I don't know whether it is. I'm sure it was intentional. You know, you say it's a bit like tourism and stuff. And you're right. When you go to the airport and you see these the Qantas signs and that message, you do kind of like hum it to yourself.
I think for quite a long period, inbound Qantas flights to Australia played I Still Call Australia Home shortly before landing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which from an integrated brand point of view, is fantastic, leveraging the adverts. The problem is that nobody hums I'll Still Call Australia Home whilst eating a plate of dried dog turds or whatever it is that they're serving up for food these days, and whilst some harpy is telling you that you can't have a blanket. Okay, I think we've comprehensively shat all over that one.
Yeah, I don't like criticising ads so badly, you know, when they spend so much money, again, but fuck them.
Looking at it with a critical eye, the absolute lack of Indigenous faces really annoyed me. You know, that ad is basically appealing to the collective Australian consciousness. At the moment, when you look at it, it looks like a theme park. Yeah. Which is not how I feel about this country. I love this country. I've lived here for nearly 30 years, but Qantas is not the arbiter of my feelings on the national, on any ideas of national identity.
No, so there's zero Asian faces in that. All blonde hair.
No Asians, no black Italian, people, Italian, no Indigenous, no
looking young people, but no, yeah.
Nothing. And this is 1998. It's not that long ago. It's not, you know, we're not making excuses, Rod Allen style excuses. Nobody pitched that wearing, you know, a white suit and played the theme tune on a white grand piano.
But even in the remake, you know, where they rang in, there's 12 kids. I can see one has possibly got an Asian background. The rest are mousy brown hair, blonde hair. There's one Asian girl playing the violin, of course. yeah, well, that's it, right? There is...
We're trying to define classic, you know, simpler times as times when it is acceptable to be racist.
Well, I mean, is it racist? But in these days, I think it's a little bit. It's not racist. It just doesn't cover the Australian diverse range.
Well, maybe it covers the bloody target audience that Qantas think they're after.
But again, what kids?
Yeah. All right, I'm starting to get annoyed now. All right. Give me some points for the brand.
2.1.
I suspect that John Singleton would point to. I couldn't find any stats about sales and stuff like that.
Well, it's funny that, isn't it? Because all successful ads, you normally can.
Yeah, and I suspect that John Singleton would say that ad or his agency's part in that ad created one of the iconic Australian brands. And I think I would probably agree with him. But that ad itself, remove the single second of, and I'm reiterating the point we made, take away that, and it could have been made yesterday, fucking MasterCard or Amex.
Today it's great for social distancing because everyone's standing perfectly apart.
Is there any craft in that ad, Tones?
Oh, there is, but, you know, crafty more like. I think for craftiness, I think there's a 2.5.
It's cinematic, isn't it, in its execution?
Well, it is, but there's much better. I mean, you look at the shots, I don't think the direction is particularly great. There's, like I said, about the guys on the horseback, there's not a great... No, you know what? Fuck it. There's 1.9. Thinking about it too much.
Okay, talk to me about the cast.
Which one?
I don't know.
They're irritating little kids.
Okay, so Jeff Dixon calls up Singer and says, we're going to put this choir in it. Stroke of genius or lazy, client-led, non-creative thinking?
Lazy, client-led, non-creative thinking who is looking for some redemption, I reckon, because he's done something now.
Okay,
nasty.
So your scores on the doors for cast would be?
One.
One. Creativity. How creative is this ad? How creative is the thought behind the ad?
Well, it's half as creative as the other, so
2.3.
I tell you what I'm noticing a lot. There's a very, very common thread through all of these big ads that we look at, the great ads we all remember. is it's an amazing coincidence that the client always comes up with the idea for every single one, nearly. I mean, there's a lot of great ads out there, and I've done some good ads, I've done some bad ads, done some really bad ads. And it's amazing, on all the good ones, the client always is the one that comes up with the idea. Well, I was watching television and I thought, well, that should be good, you know?
It's like the Hovis guy, isn't it? Do you remember the Hovis guy? What I said to them was, let's not worry about selling bread. Let's make something iconic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, how did you come up with this idea? Well, I was sitting home on New Year's Eve and I saw that saw the choir. Were you? You weren't actually at some corporate do, like getting, you know, sloshed? Yes, and yeah. You probably, well, I was actually, but don't tell the missus.
No.
Right? But it's like, all the clients always have a great idea. If it's terrible ad, we must disassociate ourselves from this piece of communication. It was a mistake.
Yes. I said to Tom Kuntz, don't shoot it wide angle, Tom. And of course, he just went ahead and did it.
Yes, I had this idea. I said, let's run on the Super Bowl. My media people thought it was a brilliant idea. So I had to go to the Super Bowl for 3 years on the road, VIP tickets, to check out the audience.
Did you ever meet John Singleton?
No.
I would have loved to meet him because he is an iconic Australian ad man, isn't he? Mm. But I could see him. You can almost hear the telephone call, can't you, on New Year's Day. So Singo has gone out and got absolutely fucked up. Mm. Jeff Dixon is the most boring man in the world, and he stayed home, Nomates, with Mrs. Dixon. Singo is woken up by a telephone call on New Year's Day with the world's best hangover. And Jeff Dixon goes, hey, mate, we're going to fucking bin $4 million on an ad. We're going to New York, Singo.
What a great thing it would be for the suits to say, oh, yeah, when they go back and they present it to Dixon and his bods.
Jeff, is this on brand? I think it's interesting that it is common knowledge that it was Jeff Dixon's idea. So you can kind of see Singo doing every interview. He's like interviewed by Adweek and The Drum and, you know, Campaign Brief and all that shit. He's going, yeah, Jeff Dixon called me up and told me.
Yeah, client's idea. Set. Well, it's brilliant. Well, we produced it.
Yeah.
All right.
Was it on brand, John? At 7.3 that came in. I need to double check previous scores, but I think that might be the lowest score ever.
Well, you know, some ideas just don't take off.
That's pretty good, actually. The previous lowest score from Tones for a reviewed ad was the 10.8 given in episode 11 to the Hovis Boy in a Bike advert. So we have now apparently plunged to new depths, and the Australians are in the gold medal position for shit ads.
I really enjoyed that. That was good. I get exponentially more enjoyment out of shitting all over an old ad than I do out of enjoying an old ad.
Well, you do the research on this normally, but I've enjoyed, because very rarely will I ever click on a link of the nationalboyschoir.com.
Who are still pushing their relationship with Qantas, aren't they? Proud to be involved.
Yep, he saw them singing by Carols by Candlelight, Christmas Eve, 1997. The rest, as they say, is history. So they went to Argentina, China, England, France, Greece, Hong Kong, Italy, Japan, Mexico, New Zealand, Tanzania.
Fucking brilliant.
Thailand, yeah. USA, and of course, travel thousands of kilometres around Australia.
How good is that?
To the Bungle Bungles.
Hunkerfree.
By the time if you were the suit on that job, or the creative director, or anybody involved, by the time you got back to Australia and you're doing the kids playing footy under the Boab tree, you'd be just sat there going, oh, for fuck's sake, when's this going to end? Okay, 7.3. For Australia's favourite ad for the Proud Boys.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. More agreement from Tones and myself on what constitutes a rubbish ad. I hope you enjoyed it enough to give us a review. Even one star would help top up the reservoir of need that currently defines us. Anyway, thanks for listening, Pod Peeps. We'd love to know what your favourite ads are. So if you can be asked, drop us a line to steve@welcometoepic.com and we'll do a review for you. In the meantime, some of you may be wondering, how will you ever know if someone you've met is a creative director at an advertising agency? Easy peasy. Just wait a couple of minutes and they'll tell you. Ta-ra for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.